This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Do not get me started.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Do not get me started. This now leaves the Jets on the outside looking in.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, 19-year MLB veteran CeCe Sabathia, Indianapolis Colts head coach Frank Reich, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, plus host of Fox is the Masked Dancer, Craig Robinson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, boy, do we have a big show in store for you today here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We have got 32 National Football League regular season games remaining. We've got ourselves 2 weeks to go after a shocking Week 15 finale. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen. We've got Chris Brockman over at his post.
Hey.
As always, we've got Mike Del Tufo sitting right by him. Good to see you, gents, as always, here on the Rich Eisen Show and getting set to settle into his seat on our putting surface. Rich Eisen Show, social media grand maester, TJ Jefferson. You're rocking a San Diego Clippers jersey today? Is that what you got on?
I heard it was like National Jersey Day today, Rich. So I broke out a World Be Free San Diego Clippers jersey.
Look at you. And it's also, as you know, a tip-off to the association season tonight.
Yes,
shortest offseason in the history of North American major professional sports, as the bubble was all over. And here we are back 3 days before Christmas. And the Clippers are actually tipping things off against the Lakers tonight. In the downtown Hoops Dojo here in Los Angeles. That'll be really weird in an empty Staples. There's that, and that's after the Nets and the Warriors tip things off in Brooklyn, New York. And that's the double dip on our friends at Turner at TNT, and we'll be discussing that throughout the show. It was one of those setups for our show today where everybody said yes. We got five wide today.
It's a good problem.
These are good problems to have. We've got 2 second hour guests and CeCe Sabathia, who's got his new documentary on his life called Under the Grapefruit Tree, the CeCe Sabathia story, because he learned to throw baseballs by throwing grapefruits under his grandmother's grapefruit tree.
Pretty awesome. I watched some of that last night.
Frank Reich, the Indianapolis Colts head coach, is going to be joining us on this program. Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champ.
Right.
And hour number three with Craig Robinson, now of the Masked Dancer. We know him, obviously, from his work in The Office. And first up is kind of a perfect guest for good and the unfortunate. Rod Woodson will be joining us, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and fellow Pro Football Hall of Famer and Steeler great Kevin Green passed away yesterday at the age of 58.
So sad.
A shocking death right there. And, man, so full of life. We saw him all the time at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right, Chris?
Just a couple of years ago. I mean, he's got the bust with the flowing lion mane.
One of the greatest busts of all time.
One of the greatest busts ever.
I know. So, Kevin Green, at age 58, apparent heart attack. Ugh. And he is no longer with us. And so Rod will be talking about his memories of Kevin Green. And then, of course, we'll talk about last night's game to wrap up Week 15.
What a game.
Pittsburgh Steelers go into the Cincinnati jungle and get hit in the mouth. Repeatedly. Wow. No way to put it is just to say that deserves a wow.
That deserves a wow.
17-0 at halftime, right?
Yeah.
Which is what Tom Brady's deficit was this weekend in Atlanta, but there was no comeback coming. There was they made it close, but Bengals made the plays. Ryan Finley running it in. 23-yard run through the Steelers defense. You know, and it's really the Steelers offense that's the issue here. We all know it, man. Yeah. You all see it. Man. There are mistakes being made. It is predictable. Nobody's worried about the Steelers running game. Nobody. James Conner out. Benny Snell in. And the Bengals are like, bring it. All good. Bring it. We'll bring the pressure on Big Ben and all those routes that they're running. We're not biting on a single thing. Play action, we scoff. No thanks. Juju Smith-Schuster, we'll just hit him hard. We'll hit him hard, and we'll hit everyone else hard, and we'll make sure Claypool doesn't get loose. And this thing should have been – this thing shouldn't even have been a 10-point game. I mean, Ben threw an interception that went through – was that William Jackson's hands? They could have wrapped that thing up. And instead, they got a gift. They got a gift pass interference penalty on fourth down on the goal line that led to Benny Snell scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then they got some gift play calls from from Cincinnati just trying to run Ryan Finley for that one last first down to try and end the game, and that got the ball back in Ben's hands, and then just some really weird play calls. Like, just let's go deep and let me just throw it into quadruple coverage and hope that Claypool comes down with it, or
pass interference.
It's just like there was no, I don't know, man.
I don't think you give him that, though.
No way. You throw it in a he's thrown in a quadruple coverage.
Yeah.
Does that take away the penalty, though?
You know what it is? It's just, you know, it. I didn't see it. Let's put it that way.
Desperation. That's what that
I didn't see it.
Like.
It smelled of desperation, and that's what the Steelers are right now, because I've never seen a team start 11-0 and clinch a playoff spot, and us wondering if they're a playoff team. I don't think I've ever seen this before, and
you're not scared of them, that's for sure.
They're no longer the two seed. They were the one seed the whole season. Three straight losses, they're the three seed. They could drop to the four seed. Now, they'd need the Titans to win out and they lose out, because, as we all know, that reconfigured Steelers-Titans game from week four that they had to move because the Titans had a major COVID problem, they had to move that all the way to week eight. And, you know, this is or week seven. They had to swap things around with Baltimore. And the Steelers won that game. And that was the beginning of us wondering if the Steelers were really all that good, because it was a few straight weeks in a row in which Pittsburgh needed to dodge a bullet at the last second. As we remember, Tennessee, Baltimore, Dallas all had the game on their either leg or in their quarterback's ball in quarterback's hand to beat the Steelers. And we were all wondering if the Steelers were for real. And now they've lost three in a row. First time in the Super Bowl era since the merger, since 1970. We've never seen a team start 11-0 and then lose three straight. As a matter of fact, every single team since the merger that started 11-0, all of them finished with fewer than three losses. Nobody's ever lost three of their last five, let alone three in a row after starting 11-0. We've not seen that. The last team to start 11-0 and then lose three in a row was the 1969 Rams. So we haven't seen this. This is another unprecedented moment in 2020. And I'm wondering what's going on here. Daniel Jeremiah, my buddy at Move the Sticks, did you see he tweeted out mid-halftime? He's like, Ben looks hurt. He's wondering if Ben's all there.
Yeah, I saw that.
But what's not there is the running game. That's just not even anybody's at all concern. We are not concerned that you're going to run it down our throats. We are not concerned about this run on third and short. We're not concerned about this run on first and 10. We're not concerned about that let's stay on schedule second and five, second and six run. We're not concerned about the play action. We're not concerned at all about any manner in which you intend to run the football, which is a major problem for a team entering a stretch run, let alone a playoff. And the Browns can win this division. The Cleveland Browns can win this division. The Cleveland Browns have the Jets, and then the Cleveland Browns have Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's next game, coming after this Monday night debacle, Indianapolis. Indy needs this football game in the worst way. We've got their coach coming up at the end of the hour. Hour two. This is major problems. Can the Steelers lose five in a row, potentially, and then not even play a single game at home after starting 11-0? Is that entirely possible?
Oh, could you imagine?
I can. It's beyond feasible. Which team has the better run game? Which team has got the quarterback who's playing as the defensive player of the year candidate on that team, like the Steelers have? Miles Garrett says Baker Mayfield's playing like his hair's on fire. Who's got the hotter quarterback? Who's got the better run game?
Could they finish
Cleveland Browns?
11-5 and miss the playoffs?
No, they have clinched a playoff spot.
Okay.
They're in.
Oh, they're in. You're right. They're in.
They are in.
But they could fall all the way to 7, conceivably.
And if they do that, their problem would be the 2 seed would most likely be the Buffalo Bills. And
They don't want any part of that.
Nobody wants any part of the Buffalo Bills right now. Yeah, that's Steelers. Magic Johnson right now. I'm going to be there.
Steelers have the X. That's my
Have the Steelers had a bye this year? I forget.
Well, and you have to start. No, hold on
way
a second.
Back.
You have to start wondering.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to start wondering. Although the Tennessee Titans, as you know, had their bye week moved to week 4. But they also didn't have a stretch where a Thanksgiving game got totally reconfigured. And then that led to another totally reconfigured game that did lead to their first loss. And then another game after that. What did the Steelers play, like 3 games in 12 days or something like that? You have to wonder if that is, in fact, finally coming home to roost. Tennessee doesn't have the problem that they're running into a wall. Obviously, it helps to have a run game when it comes to that. So the Steelers have persevered through all of the craziness, the COVID craziness. By the way, none of which was because they had an outbreak in their own house. It was the Titans outbreak and the Ravens outbreak that reconfigured the Steelers season. And you have to wonder, are we finally seeing the effects of all that? Maybe. Sure. They have injuries just like everyone else. Maybe. Sure. That run game has disappeared. I mean, poof, like Kaiser Soze, gone. Tell me again. I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire is hurt, and it is possible that he can return for the playoffs because the divisional round is a month away, and that's when the Chiefs will be playing their next first must-have game.
High ankle sprain.
Really? Okay. Is that what? That's all it is? Is the old high ankle sprain? That's what it is.
That's what ended up yesterday afternoon.
I'll just take the dreaded high ankle sprain after you. I thought that's like torn groin and all sorts of hip problems.
Bad.
Oh my gosh. That is the human body is not meant to be contorted that way, but you still have Lev Bell there, right? So
it looks pretty good.
Not concerned about the Kansas City Chiefs run game. Singletary, you know, and Moss. I have been saying that I'm concerned about it, but they are beginning to show some teeth. And then that quarterback is just makes up for any problems anyway that you might have in a run game because he's part of the run game. And then you got the Tennessee Titans. You concerned about their run game?
Oh, yeah.
You got the Cleveland Browns. You concerned about their run game?
Oh, yeah.
You got the Indianapolis Colts. Are you concerned about their run game?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Now, the Dolphins, I'm concerned about their run game a little bit.
A little bit.
Ravens, you concerned about their run game?
Yep.
You are concerned about their run game?
The Ravens run game?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they
Dobbins and Ingram and Gus Edwards, I'm not concerned about
it. I'm concerned about Lamar Jackson running the football.
Well, okay. But I'm just saying when you have to get that 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, or the run game is something that needs to be respected, I think that's the
I think I think Dobbins has really come on the last
month. No doubt.
I
mean, and Gus Edwards, the Gus bus is not a – you know, and Ingram is still – you know, I have – he was a healthy scratch this week, but there's still trust levels with him.
Big trust.
Okay. My point is the Steelers might have the worst run situation going on right now. Because if Gaskin comes off of the COVID list, I'd take Gaskin over who the Steelers are suiting up right now.
Even the Salvon Ahmed looked amazing against the Patriots.
Right? I mean, where's Connor? I know he's gotten COVID, and it's terrible. So I'm concerned about the Steelers. There's no two ways to put it. And we'll talk about it with Rod Woodson. And then, you know, Rod will be joining us. Chris Long, we'll talk about it with him here on the show. Here's another thing I took out of that Monday Nighter, Chris. This is what I took out of the Monday Nighter. Because this is about me. I'll just walk through the front door here. I walk through the front door here on this program. Okay?
Rich Eisen loves Rich Eisen.
Yeah, whatever. You've got all sorts of drops. You could play the Rich. This is the Rich Eisen.
This is the Rich Eisen.
I prefer that one, to be honest with you.
I thought you were hitting that one.
No. Rich Eisen loves Rich Eisen. Whatever.
You know what? Go run another 40 in your suit.
Zolak and I have made up.
Yeah, we're all copacetic now.
All right?
World Cup is pathetic.
But this is a moment for me, and this is what I took out of the Monday night football game. If Ryan Finley can run through the stout Steelers defense because their Steelers offense kept putting them back on the field. If Ryan Finley can do this in the third, fourth quarter against the stout Steelers defense, if he can make a throw to A.J. Green, if he can move the ball down the field and make just enough points and score against this stout defense, and then his defense can go and put up a four-quarter stout front on an offense run by Ben Roethlisberger, okay, and wideouts like Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson, if this can happen, why can't Gardner Minshew do that against the Chicago Bears on Sunday?
Why can't Minshew Mania, there's no
Findlay Funhouse, right? Oh. There's no Findlay Fantasia. There's none of that. We don't talk about that. He doesn't have the swagger of Gardner Minshew. And Mitchell Trubisky is far more mistake prone than future first ballot Hall of Famer Ben Roethlisberger, right? Why can't number 15 with his flowing locks come out and make sure that those are the only flowing locks in Jacksonville in 2021? I am not ready to give up the Trevor Lawrence ghost. I know I said yesterday that by today I'd start planting my feet firmly in the world of reality, looking at the numbers and looking at what we think is the most realistic outcome. I just watched my 0-13 Jets walk into Los Angeles. Okay. Don, I don't care. You don't have to put up Minshew fumbling. I don't care. It's all right. It's all right. I don't need you going rogue with the photographs. It's not going to throw me off my game. Mm-mm. I just watched my 0-13 Jets walk into Los Angeles and just absolutely have their way with the Rams. I've saw that. Get up so far ahead that the Rams needed to play mistake-free football and just couldn't. Just like what Cincinnati did last night to the Steelers. Got up so much that the Steelers had to play mistake-free football and couldn't. That's what happens. That can't happen with the Jaguars and the Bears this week. James Robinson can't run into the teeth of Khalil Mack and run over. Gardner Minshew can't find DJ Chark. Jets fans can't learn how to pronounce the name of Laviska Shenault. No, they can't, actually. You know what I mean? Todd Wash coordinated defense can't wash over Trubisky. We're not letting Allen Robinson beat us. Okay, Mooney, let's see what you got.
Mooney.
David Montgomery's been balling out. Not here. Not with people in a swimming pool watching this thing.
Mooney.
I imagine they've shut that swimming pool. I don't know. All I'm saying is this.
This is Florida rich.
This is what I'm going to I'm saying.
Swim.
What we just saw a weekend. First time ever. Two teams, 9 wins worse than their opponents, beating those opponents on the same weekend. We've never seen that before. Jets, 9 wins shy of the Rams. And Bengals, 9 wins shy of the Steelers. Both won. Never seen that in an NFL week before. If we had turned to Steve Mariucci, Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin, as a group on NFL game day morning, saying your bold prediction should be Dez Bryant, Le'Veon Bell, Frank Gore, Antonio Brown, and Larry Fitzgerald will all score touchdowns today. They'll go, please, that's ridiculous. That happened this weekend. Why not Gardner Minshew? And you go, Mitchell Trubisky. You show up. I'm not ready to give up the flowing maned ghost of Clemson University. Mm-mm. I'm still all in. Text me around 7 o'clock Eastern on Sunday night, okay? Check in with me.
All good. I will do.
We'll take a break. Rod Woodson's going to join us here on The Rich Eisen Show. CC Sabathia, Frank Reich, and Chris Long, and Chris Robinson. What a show that we've got. Craig Robinson, pardon me. We've got a hell of a show here on The Rich Eisen Show. But when we come back, we remember the life and times of Kevin Green and talk some ball with the Steeler great, Rod Woodson. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats, people, and, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. You didn't think I'd take that turn from the Steelers, I'm concerned about them, to I take this, the Bengals win as an uplifting moment for me as a Jet fan that the Bears can lose in Jacksonville this coming weekend?
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. I guess I should have after
What's
all
more
games.
Unlikely, Jaguars beat the Bears or the Bengals on Monday night? Ryan Finley does something Andy Dalton rarely could do, which is win in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football, let alone against this team. What's more unlikely?
I would last have, night. I would have bet a kidney that last night wouldn't have happened.
Well, I'm glad you didn't bet vital internal organs on last night's
so
game,
much.
Chris. Making me wonder what you're doing in your spare time, quite frankly.
You don't want to know.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, if you want to have a chat. We are five wide today. We do have overreaction Monday on a Tuesday because I went all ham on the Jets losing to the Rams.
Yeah, but it was worth it.
Did I use that properly?
Yes, you did, Richard.
It was worth it.
I'm very proud of you for
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. He's one of my favorites that I got to work with. As a matter of fact, I probably did more NFL Total Access shows with this man as an analyst on that program than anybody else. And he's a first-rate individual and a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Rod Woodson. How are you, Rod?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? You there, Rod?
Can you hear me, Rich?
I can. Can you hear me, Rod?
I got you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, let's start, I guess, with the passing of your friend and colleague and Pro Football Hall of Famer Kevin Green. Rod, I'm sure this took you aback just like everybody else.
Well, definitely did. I got a text yesterday from somebody in the front office from the Steelers saying that Kevin passed, and I was like, what? You know, then one of our teammates called me and asked me if I knew anything. Then I called the Steelers, and they told me what they know. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. Guy, 58 years old, is at home, feeling pretty good for the most part. And then, you know, he said he didn't feel good for a second, and it collapsed and passed away. So, what I remember about Kevin Green is when I first met him, I was at my first Pro Bowl, and I was on the punt team for the AFC. He was on the NFC team. I was a wing guy, and he put his hands on me, wouldn't let me get off the line. I felt like a little baby kicking and screaming and trying to get down the field. And he was just laughing at me and saying, Wood, you're not going to get away from me, Wood. And that was my first experience with him. And a great human being. My prayers go out to his wife and his kids. He'll never be forgotten.
So one thing to take from that story, Pro Bowl? He's playing like that in a Pro Bowl, Rod? For real? He really did that in a Pro Bowl?
Listen, back in the day, we took the Pro Bowl very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, that was we got a little extra change in our wallets.
Yes, that's
right. But you know, anytime you get competitors together, you want to have fun. You know, you don't want to get injured, obviously, but you know, you want to win.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, back then
he really took.
There were some pretty hard hits. There were some guys, you know, guys that took the extremely serious. And if you brought your in-laws or your parents, you needed to win to try to break even.
That's right. I remember that. That's right. But the fact that, again, Kevin Green is playing that hard in a Pro Bowl, obviously, it was maybe more prevalent back in the day. But he's just, you know, obviously, you've got to be a certain competitor to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What would you want people, young folks who might not have seen Kevin Green play, know about him and his style, Rod?
Well, he was a tremendous player. You know, a lot of people, you know, it took him a while to get into the Hall of Fame, but, you know, he had double-digit sacks for over 10 years. And that's, I mean, getting 10 sacks is hard to do for 1 year. He did it for over 10 years. And, you know, this is a tremendous player. But the one thing I really respect about him is that he was a great family man. You know, he was offered a job at the AAF as a head coach, declined it because he wanted to be with his family. He left the Jets because he wanted to be with his kids in high school. I mean, it was about family for him, and I respect that tremendously because family is very important. At the end of the day, that's all we have. And you know, he just exemplified everything about being a blue collar worker, because we, as in this society, we praise people who talk a lot of trash and point at their backs and it's all about them. And Kevin wasn't like that. Kevin was just a blue collar, hard hat worker, came to play every single day and played extremely well at a high level for the vast majority of his career. And that's the main reason he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But the long flowy hair,
yeah,
with the strong attitude, man, I'll never forget it.
And I mean, he, you know, I know he played in other places, but I mean, kind of the Steeler mentality, he personified it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Rich, the first time I seen him in person in the Steeler facility, mm-hmm, I walked into the weight room. His back was turned to me. I thought we traded for an offensive lineman because he was that big. And he turned around, and I was like, Kevin, I didn't know you were that doggone big. No wonder I couldn't get away from you at the Pro Bowl. You know, so, I mean, it's, you know, he was a Steeler through and through. You know, he played like a Steeler. His mindset was like a Steeler. And the great thing about playing with Kevin, you know, we had Kevin Green, we had Greg Lloyd, so we used to call him Salt and Pepper. Anytime we wanted, you know, Dom Capers, our defense coordinator, to put some pressure on the quarterback, we're like, hey, give that quarterback a little spice. And then as soon as we said that, Dom would call our Saw Dog, which is cover one, but he's going to bring the Sam and the Will, which is Greg and Kevin Green, and they would normally always get back to the quarterback.
Salt and pepper, and they mix it up in the backfield, and usually it would mean with some quarterback on his backside. Unbelievable. Rod Woodson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the here and now. How concerned are you about the Steelers right now, Rod?
Well, you're definitely concerned. I mean, three in a row, you know, you play the first half of the season and get yourself ready for the second half of the season. And December, you know, losing three straight games is concerning. And the way they're losing is concerning. No running game. They still got the little quick short passing games. But, you know, anytime you're one-dimensional, and if you look at their stats the last 3 weeks, they are really one-dimensional, throwing the football, quick rhythm, take a couple shots down the field. That's what they've done. But everybody's kind of caught up to that. And if they don't get a running game or a semblance to the running game, it's going to hurt them. And, you know, you look at their last two games, they got the Colts and the Browns. So those are no give me. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play. You know, obviously they're already in the postseason. But if you can't get on a winning streak going into the playoffs, your mindset as a team, somewhere along the line, those guys that are on the borderline are going to start questioning even if should they belong. You know, Mike Tomlin's a great coach. I know he'll get them back in order, but they got to find a way to get a running game, Rich, or it's going to be a short playoff career for him this year.
Well, my current colleague, your former at NFL Network, Aditi Kinkabwala, reporting that Mike Tomlin said today he's going to talk to Juju about dancing in other teams' logos. Apparently that will help the Bengals stir themselves up last night, Rod.
I don't get that, Rich. I just don't get it. I understand you want everybody to bring their own uniqueness to the game, but the disrespect, the logo is like a sacred ground. You know, it's that sacred ground. Remember T.O. tried to do it on the Dallas Cowboys logo?
Oh, yeah.
And after a touchdown? I mean, you can't do stuff like that. And I know it's a pregame, but you just can't do it. It gives motivation. You're 11-0 at the time, you know, when this whole thing, when they're at the beginning of the year, and then you're gonna get the A game from every team that you play against. But now you're giving the team added motivation to play even better and harder against your offense, and they've done that the last 3 weeks.
Well, I also remember T.J. Houshmandzadeh wiping his cleats on a terrible towel. I remember that too. You know, I mean, and Pittsburgh did not like that at all. I mean, folks still talk about that, you know, and then, but how do you find it? That's the problem. How do you find that run game? I mean, just hope that Connor gets healthy and kind of shows up. I mean, how do you find it so late in the game? And then you got the Colts, you know, with that defensive front, Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner, followed by Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon, then followed by a playoff season. I mean, this is dire straits in a way, Rod, right?
Rich, after you just said that, it didn't make me feel too good.
That's my job, Rod. As you know, if working together, I just lend perspective. That's my job, is to lend perspective and your opinion.
It's going to be tough for him, Rich, to be honest. You know, they haven't been a great running football team over the last couple years. You know, I love the story of Connor and what he brings the table when he is healthy. But that's the problem, when he is healthy. And not only about the running game, but I think the middle of the field for the Steelers and the linebacking core, you know, all the injuries they've been ravaged with over the years, or excuse me, throughout this year, you know, they need to find somebody. I mean, Vince, when he comes back, Vince Williams, when he comes back, that's going to help them. But, you know, having all those injuries from the linebacker, when you're a 3-4, and your guys start going down and you're missing your top several inside linebackers. And the one thing that they exploited quite a bit the last couple of weeks has been the middle of the field. And that's where those linebackers roam.
Rod Woodson here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few minutes left with the Pro Football Hall of Famer. So what are your 2 cents on the final 2 weeks here in this regard? Do you go with body of work last year into this year and just know this team that has playoff hopes or is at the top of a playoff food chain like the Chiefs or the Saints, Packers, that they're fine going into this postseason and they are going to be actually the front runners? Or do you go with a hot team, hot hand, Buffalo, Cleveland? Do you go with the way the Titans are playing all of a sudden? You look in the NFC and you're wondering which team might be able to catch fire from that group. Where do you stand on this issue, Rod, right now?
Well, I mean, I think Kansas City is the best team in the National Football League. But when I, you know, I called the Buffalo's game last week in Denver, mm-hmm. And when I'm watching their tape over this year, I'm saying if one team can kind of score point for point with the Kansas City Chiefs, it could be the Buffalo Bills.
How about that? I mean,
they have weapons across the board. They can put up a lot of points. Their defense is similar to Kansas City's defense. They're solid. They're good. They're not great. They've been inconsistent, but so is Kansas City's defense. So when I looked at the schedule, I'm saying if we know Kansas City's the best team in the National Football League, what team in the AFC can put up the same amount of points that they can? And the only team I can come up with is the Buffalo Bills.
And, you know, I hear you. I hear you. My concern, again, and it pisses Buffalo fans off, as I know, because I see comments, that when it comes down to it, can they possess the football? Maybe they could do it with Josh Allen being part of that running attack and then just move the chains and let the clock run down. Can they possess the football 6, 7, 8 minutes at a time consistently enough to keep the possessions limited for Kansas City? Can they do that? Do they have Singletary and Moss do that for them? Is it Allen mixed in? Is it the short game with Dawson Knox and Cole Beasley? Can they do that in the cold of Kansas City? I guess they can, right?
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah, you just say, So because Moss and Singletary, even though Moss is about the same size as Singletary, Singletary's more of a scat back, you know. Right. Moss is a thick lower body running back who, when he lowers his shoulder pads, he's getting extra yardage. He's moving the pile. And then they have a short passing game, but then you got Josh Allen in the running game, so they can go empty. They'll go quarterback draw. That's a called run. They can, you know, when they get in the red zone, that's where it's critical. When they get in the red zone, Josh Allen doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He hasn't thrown an interception in the red zone since this year. And he's rushed in his career. He had two last week, so he has 24 rushing touchdowns in his young career. So he's capable of adding to that running game. And anytime you can get quarterbacks who can get, you know, first downs with unscheduled first downs with their feet, it just adds to the dynamics to it. So I think they could eat the clock up. But they're a big play, big strike offense, very similar to Kansas City. And I just keep saying, if any team can score 30 points like Kansas City can on a consistent basis, it could be the Buffalo Bills.
And so what's the comp for Josh Allen from your playing days? Is it Elway? Would that be the proper comp for Josh Allen, the way he's playing right now?
You know,
or
what?
Is that too much?
It's very similar. I mean, I'm not going to put him in the Hall of Fame category.
No, well, he's playing most valuable right now in a way. But what's the comp? I mean, for somebody that big who can run with a big gun, who's the comp for Josh Allen from your days?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know if anybody that big could run like he runs. He throws a great deep ball. You know, he doesn't. When you look at, you know, Drew Lock, who has a strong arm, mm-hmm. when Drew Lock throws a deep ball, it's a kind of a straight line deep ball, so he doesn't give his receivers enough time to adjust to it, where Josh Allen, who has a cannon arm, can throw, make any throw in the National Football League. When he throws a deep ball still, he gives enough air to his guys to adjust to it. I mean, I can't really think of a guy who I played against who has the same abilities. Because he's 6'6", he's 245 pounds, he can run you over, he can throw a touch pass, but then he can throw a bullet, and he can throw the long ball. So, I mean, he has all the tools in the toolkit. Everybody kept questioning a guy from Wyoming, can he adjust to the National Football League? It doesn't matter where you play if you have talent, and once you have that talent, you come into this league, you have a good system, and you keep getting better. It doesn't matter where you play. So I think, you know, obviously he's one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League. And, as he plays well, they'll keep winning.
A couple minutes left with Rod Woodson. Who do you like in the NFC? Who's your NFC team? 2 weeks to go here.
Oh, heck, it's the Green Bay Packers.
How about that?
I mean, right now Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out.
He is.
I'm not the defense is a little inconsistent. They can make plays. They can get some pass rush with the Smith brothers. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the way he's playing, and they're not running back, you know, Aaron Jones. You know, when you look at how good he is, how dynamic he is in space, in between tackles, on the edges, in the passing game, you know. And then if they ever get a number two receiver, Rich, they're going to be dangerous. You know, they've been trying to figure out who can go opposite of Davante Adams. But, you know, Davante Adams, even he said it, he's the best receiver in the National Football League. I think other people probably want to argue with him. Other receivers in the league will want to argue with him, but I think those stats speak for themselves.
Rod, I love you, man. I always miss talking to you whenever I do talk to you. It's interesting. We started with the Pro Bowl conversation. Do you remember the advice you gave me before I went to cover my first Pro Bowl with you? Do you remember the advice you gave me, Rod, back in the day?
I do not remember, Rich.
You told me out of whatever to do, because, you know, obviously I'd never been to a Pro Bowl there in Hawaii. You told me whatever I do, the last thing I should do is give my room number to anybody. Do you remember that? How do you remember?
That is true. They would take it and there would be a lot of Mai Tais and lava flows.
But you said, forget about giving your room number to anybody. You said, don't even say it out loud. He said, don't even write. You told me, don't even write it down anywhere, is what you told me.
Yes. They get you. They get you. They, what am I going to get my Rich Eisen mug and t-shirts in so I can support Rich Eisen.
Well, Rod.
Rod, get in line.
You know, these guys are all looking for. Well, you know, Del Tufo, he's looking for free stuff, Rod. You know Mike. You know, Mike's wearing free stuff from when we worked together for the first show together. That's how old. That's how old his stuff is that he's gone on right now. I got you covered, Rod. I got you covered like you used to cover the entire National Football League. I love you. Best to your family, Rod. We'll chat soon.
All right. Take care. Talk to you soon.
The one and only Rod Woodson.
Yeah. The goat, you mean.
Whatever you do, do not give out your room number.
Hey, don't do it.
What did Sean Merriman tell us? Sean Merriman told us his first Pro Bowl. He had, was it $25,000 put on his room bill or something like that?
Yeah, it was.
That's what they do to the rookies.
Yeah, what room are you? 501.
Yeah, they just said. Yeah.
You go down to the pool.
That's what Sean Payton, you know, Sean Payton and Tony Romo went to the same college, right? So when Romo made his first Pro Bowl, he said to Sean Payton, says to Romo, hey, my son, who's now a grown ass man, his son, he goes, my son drew a picture of you. And I want to send it to your room. What's your room number? Romo gave it to him. Next day, they broke the NFC huddle by giving out Romo's room number on three.
I mean, it's so good.
And I think just now, just this year alone, what Romo makes is enough to make up for what they put on his room
tab. Oh, that's wrong.
$17 million.
Broke the NFC huddle wrote with Romo's room number on three. 1, 2, 3. That's what Sean Payton did to Tony
Romo.
That's what they do at Pro Bowls, man. You do not.
Don't give out your room.
Oh, no.
Pool Mai Tais on Rich.
And, of course, you know Marshall Faulk guessed my room number by watching me write it down on a receipt, which, you know, you put in that folio and hand in, and he watched the top of my pen, and he held it over me all week that I know your room number, I know your room number, and even gave it out on NFL Total Access.
Yes, I remember.
And then I wondered how he guessed it, and because he, you know, he must have got it by watching me write it down. I checked out. He and I were going to the airport together. I checked out of the room. Who was checking out of the room next door to me? He was next door to me the entire stay, and I did not know. And that's how he hosed me. Fun Pro Bowl memories, man.
Oh, they were
unfortunately
fun.
There's no game this year, but Pro Bowls were announced yesterday. When we come back, the latest NFL Network hosing of the host. You guys missed it on game day morning on Sunday.
Missed it.
Oh, my gosh. We'll recount it for you. This is great stuff. TJ's already nodding his head. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Lace up your boots. The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, is streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all three seasons of Yellowstone now.
Oh, Rich, you were off.
No, I wasn't. To hell with you. I liked it.
Rich.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing? I'm just I'm playing around with it.
The Italian judge gave you a 2 on that one.
I love the Italian judge. I love you guys. I do.
Yeah, I do too,
it's
man.
It's true.
Come on.
Especially when we have a Peacock NBA fantasy basketball draft. And
amazing.
And Brockman gets James Harden and LeBron James, which he never would have wanted to do going in, and that's great.
Ruined my whole draft strategy getting both those guys. But I had to take them. I had to.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mightier 1090, locally here in Southern California, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Nationwide, back here on the simulcast on NBC Sports on Peacock. Let's take this phone call from Ben in Mississippi. Ben, you're on the Rich Eisen Show again. How you doing, sir?
Rich, I would ask how you're doing, but based on what happened yesterday,
yep,
not well. But I have a solution. It's a little far-fetched.
Okay.
I have a solution. Out of all of the situations and strategies and all the potential playoff implications that will happen,
yes,
all the fast-leg games that we will have over the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
The most interesting place in the NFL world is Jacksonville, Florida.
That's correct.
Here's why. As you know, right now, currently, they are slated for the number one pick. But here's what we've seen twice so far this year.
What
we have seen?
Seen
mutiny and anarchy from your former defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, and the bozo from Detroit this weekend alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a head coach who knows he's going to be axed at the end of the year. We have players who have pride more than anything else.
No doubt.
Against management.
That's correct.
For the next 2 weeks.
That's correct.
So we have a player versus management situation. And here's another thing. Depending on what happens this weekend, Indianapolis could be playing for their playoff lives week 17 against Jacksonville, the only team they beat this year.
Yes.
So what if
yes.
Jacksonville serves not only you, but they eliminate Indianapolis and screw themselves out of the number one pick.
Well, here's the thing, Ben. I like the cut of your jib. I like your moxie. I always enjoy when you call in, and I always enjoy your takes, especially when they give me hope. Here's the thing is Frank Reich's calling it an hour number two. I don't want him eliminated. I don't want to even have those words mentioned because I don't want him to associate that potentially with anything with the Rich Eisen show. So I'm going to place that aside. But I like everything else that you've just said. And thank you for the call, Ben. I appreciate it. Do I use any real estate with Frank Reich asking him to tank week 17? Not in a world, right?
As your attorney, I got to advise.
Well, it just shows you how out of my mind I am.
That you're even considering.
Out of my absolute mind. Because I'm going crazy.
Well,
I'm going crazy that the Jets won for the obvious reasons. The other one, too, is the Jets finally win the day in which Michael Irvin is feted on NFL game day morning for winning the Locks of the Week contest because he had already clinched it the week before. And as you know, he chooses against the Jets every week. And the producers allow him to do it. It's like, even if I'm like, hey, look, I'm a Jet fan. I knew the minute I was born in 1969 that we're going to lose this week 8 game. I know it. I'm not allowed to choose it because that's reserved for Michael. It's a totally, and we hear the words rigged a lot these days. It truly is thoroughly rigged for a television segment. And the producers are immune to this because anytime I complain about it, it just gives them more fuel to rig it worse. And it's won for a second consecutive year, because Michael Irvin keeps choosing against the Jets, they just pour it on. So they got a whole bunch of people to record videos to celebrate Michael on Sunday.
Oh, no way.
And played it throughout the show. Here was the first one, Jerry Jones in hour one. Go ahead.
Michael, you've always been like a son to me. And I must tell you, there's more that feel like Christmas and our experiences together than anything else. I'm so proud of you, the way that you've been able to distinguish yourself for this amazing achievement. Your ability to use everything that comes to bear, your intensity has always been there. But to accomplish something of this stature maybe takes you to a different level, even in my eyes. By the way, if we're through, I'd like to say this to you. If you'd use half that energy that you are in predicting these damn games like this, if you'd come a little better advice to me on how to win a damn football game and who to do it with, then my Cowboys might have a little more success. Now get off your ass and on your feet and get advise me the same way you're doing this stuff.
Jerry Jones, everybody.
Holy smokes. First off, does he have a Christmas tree on his yacht?
I have no idea where that was. But then we're just getting started. Don, play the second video. They actually got Stephen A. Smith.
What? No way.
Go ahead, roll it.
What's up, Playmaker? Congratulations. Locks of the Week. You won for the second year in a row. Congratulations. It's so touching. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's what winners do, right? Only one problem. You still think those Cowboys are going to do something, don't you?
This is amazing.
You'll always be a Cowboy. And that's nothing to be proud of right now. You hear me?
Stephen A. Smith.
Wow.
Okay, so then they had more and more and more and more. Okay, Daryl Green even did one to congratulate. It was just, it didn't stop. Until it was finally time to give him the trophy, which was like 15 feet tall again.
Yeah.
And this cut deep, Reggie Jackson.
Wait.
Hey, man. I got to throw this out there. Rich, Mooch, Kurt, Michael, the playmaker. I'm a Law fan every week. And Lock of the Week is my favorite segment. After the First Lady, C. Freeland, you're the man. You are the man, Michael. It's your expertise that we all learn the same thing for every week. So thanks for teaching us.
Boyhood hero.
Now, don't ever clown my man Kurt's threads again. Ha! Mr. October pulling rank on you, bro. Ha ha.
Okay, so my childhood hero.
Oh, my gosh.
What could possibly be worse than my childhood hero used against me in this?
Well?
My own children.
Wait.
They got Susie to get my kids to sign to Michael a congratulatory drawing. Put it up, Don. Uncle Michael, two-time Lock of the Week champ, Doom Doom. My daughter Taylor drew her favorite animal, a
puppy.
A Dalmatian. Xander signs it. Do you know who's missing from it?
Cooper.
Cooper. Because he told his mom to tell NFL Network Game Day Morning producers he refuses to sign it because it's rigged.
That's your boy.
So he created his own drawing, Cooper Eisen, NFL Game Day Morning on NFL Network, and his own. I guess, call. Welcome to the Pro Bowl. I'm your host, Rich Eisen. A classic battle, AFC versus NFC. And he kicks it off to NFC. The NFC coach is Steve Mariucci. Whoa. Hey. NFC quarterback Kurt Warner passes to Michael Irvin for the touchdown. Very sweet.
Very sweet.
For his dad.
Great job, Coop.
Refused to sign the document.
They tried to hurt you, Rich.
Children.
That is amazing.
That's how Game Day Morning ended, and then the Jets won.
Oh, rough
day. Ruin it all. Yep.
Rough
and
day.
Then
on top of that,
the Jets won.
Oh man.
Costing them apparently Trevor Lawrence.
Funny.
And then my Lock of the Week. You know what my Lock of the Week was this week?
What?
Steelers over Bengals.
Hey.
Rough week, Rich.
My childhood idol, and then my own children.
Dirty.
My own wife.
They all were.
My house. In my home.
A house divided.
Where my children come and play with their toys.
But you now know who your number one is, though, Rich. You know who's got your back in the house.
No. Because my children are of their own free mind and will. As you know, kids like sticking it to dad. But when it all comes down to it, I know all three of them. And I'll stick to it. Okay. Because I went down such a Jets wormhole yesterday, we didn't even do Overreaction Monday.
We didn't.
So when we come back, the rare Overreaction Tuesday edition. And then, okay, I'll just get right into my Yankee love with CC Sabathia and Frank Reich of the Colts coming up. We're still here on our NBC Sports on Peacock. So you didn't see that?
I did not. That's amazing.
How about that, Jerry Jones?
He looked like he's on
the
yacht.
Games. I don't know.
Looked like it.
Hey, look, if you've got a yacht,
I mean, I'm on it.
Christmas tree on.
Exactly. I was out on the boat yesterday.
You got a tree on your boat?
No tree on the boat.
You should put a tree on the boat. Why not?
I could get a baby
Have
tree.
Have you named the boat Adios yet or not?
No.
Adios is great.
Audio.
Oh, it's Audios.
Audios.
Audios. I just thought I heard Audios.
Yeah. Somebody audios tweeted that.
Audios is actually perfect.
Audios is great.
Yeah, someone tweeted that to us.
Yeah, I like that one.
But then the problem is people come up, why did you name your boat Audios? No, it's not Audios, it's Audios.
But Del Tufo loves to talk.
So you got to put the accent on top of the I, right?
Yes.
Michael loved to explain the difference.
Audios.
Audios.
Yeah, Mike, you're a talker, so you'll. Yeah.
I got the painting guy. I got the guy to paint.
Is he a talker? I don't know.
Nah, I would never.
I don't know. I don't know from this show. No, I don't know from traveling with him.
Well, old Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
Until he names it, it's Two Pump Chump. Let's just be honest.
Oh, that's the name. Yeah. Oh boy, that really is. He's
no,
not.
No, no, I don't care anymore.
That's like you guys no, are you do.
I
do.
He doesn't care, but we're
I'm
idiots.
Like Rich.
Us bringing up it's Two like Pump Chump, it's like stomping guys on somebody's logo
no,
in the middle
not
of the field.
No, it's not.
Pisses him off.
Nope.
Two Pump Chump.
Not anymore.
As long as it makes you bring your A game,
not
I don't
anymore
care. CC Sabathia, Frank Reich, Hour 2. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.